Good evening. It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. This is Chaim Bravender. And we're talking about, we're learning together the parsha, something about the parsha, the two parshiot this week by Yakel and Pekudei. This shir is being given in memory of Ofer Agassi Zal by his loving family. There are several questions that you can ask about the parshiot of Vayakel Pekudei that are so obvious that they don't even bother us that much. But, for example, let's take Vayakel, the beginning of Vayakel and Pekudei. You remember Vayakel and Pekudei are kind of the mirror image of Truman Tetzaveh. So that the last five parashiyot in the Torah are more or less Truma Tetzaveh, which is about building the Mishkan, starting from the Kelim, the vessels, and then the how they built the structure that the Kelim were put into. That's Tetzaveh. And the Big Day Kohuna, of course, the clothing that the Kohanim wore. That's Truma. And Tetzaveh, and a little bit of Kitisa, the third parasha. But in Kitisa, there is a rather extensive description of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And after that, Vayakel Pekudei, our parashiot for this week, which again tell me the story about building the Mishkan, the Kelim, and the house that held the Kelim in it. So you have Truma Tetzaveh, the Mishkan, Hitisa, Chet HaEgel, Vayakel Pekudei, the Mishkan. Now we were taught by Rashi that we should not imagine that the Torah repeats things for no reason at all. But anytime there's a repetition, we have to find some rationale or some reason for that repetition. And that's certainly true about a long repetition, like Truma Tetzaveh is pretty much mirrored in Vayakel Pekudei. And those of you who are not sure about that point, you could take a look at the Chumash, and you'll see there's very little Rashi commentary in Vayakel Pekudei, because Rashi has already commented on those things in Truma Tetzaveh. So Rashi had a week off every time we came to Vayakel Pekudei. So we don't get it. Why would the Torah have to write the same thing over and over again? Dafka, especially when we are speaking about the Mishkan, we're speaking about the tabernacle, right? Why was it repeated? Why was it repeated? That's one question that everybody has to ask. The second question that I think everybody might ask, should ask, which we will ask, is what exactly is the status of Bezalel. After all, if Bezalel was an artisan, if he was somebody who knew how to do things that nobody else knew how to do, I mean, I can understand Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah. And the Torah says, you know, make a table, make a candelabrum, make a small mizbeach, altar, make a big altar. I mean, I can understand all of that, but still, you need professionals, artisans, to actually produce the stuff. It's not enough that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Torah of the stuff, but you have to have some way of transmitting what it should actually look like. And that's what Bezalel probably did. I understand that. What I don't understand is how much credit do you get for that? I mean, it seems to me that if you have a Kabbalan, you have a builder who's building a building, so he's got a lot of people working for him. with different skills. But the people with the different skills, they don't get credit for building the building. They didn't build the building. At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who put the Mishkan together. He was the one who kind of took it apart, to put it together on the days that we call Yemei Miluim, the beginning of Nisan. For 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu took apart the Mishkan, then put together the Mishkan, took apart, took together, which sounds like an act of dominion of some sort to show that he was the one who was really in charge. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was really in charge, what about Bezalel? What was he in charge of? What was he in charge of? So if we start from Bezalel at the top of the page, we start with the problem of Bezalel. So I just wanted to, 1 second. This is Perek Lamed Aleph. You could remember that Perek Lamed Bet 32 is the story of the Chet HaEgel. So this is before the Chet HaEgel. It's before the Chet HaEgel, a kind of still in the topic of Truma and Tetzave, the topic of the Mishkan. So Vayedaveh Hashem El Moshe Lemor, Rehei, behold. We take a look at what's going on. Karati B'Shem, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mate Yehuda. Al karati b'shem, those two words, let me just underline. Karati b'shem, I called out his name. So calling a name is a significant, something of significance. Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, to the first man, go and call them names, referring to all the animals of the world. Apparently, when something doesn't have a name, it's not designated as a word. In such a case, you really can't. I mean, it lacks existence. So when Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, go give them names, it was a kind of a way of saying, give them existence in the world that you live in, Adam HaRishon. You could talk about them. You could talk about it. You have a cow, so you could say, here is a cow. This is the cow that I'm referring to. But if you don't have a name, it's lacks somehow in the creative effort. So here, Re'e Karati B'Shem, I don't know exactly what it means. We'll see what the Ramban says. We'll see Rashi. Karati B'Shem. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mate Yehuda. Bezalel, he's an important person, so he gets a kind of expanded name. He is the son of, who is the son of, from the tribe of. That's Bezalel. Karati B'Shem. So Bezalel, the Torah tells us in every possible way that Bezalel is a very important person. Now, these are hard words, not because we don't know what they mean, be'erech, more or less, but we don't know how to translate those words precisely. So let's look at Rashi. Karati b'shem, I called his name, lasot melachti, to do the work that I want to have done, et Bezalel. Et Bezalel. Karati b'shem, you add the word b'shem et Bezalel. It's like the verb is karati Bezalel. Karati what? Karati b'shem. That shem is the modifier. That's how Rashi understands it. It's not particularly confusing. Okay, and then Rashi goes on to explain these words. Bitfuno, bidat, lachshom, machshavot. Pasukei becharoshet even, lemalot becharoshet eitz, lasot bekol malacha becharoshet. Rashi omer leshon umenut. It's like something that takes a certain kind of talent. You again, not everybody can do it. Kimo Charash Chacham. Ongulus Pirish Vishana Beferushan Shecheresh Avanim Karui Uman, an artisan. It refers to an artisan. Okay. That's what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't tell us too much about Bezalel, except that he had certain kinds of talents. So Rashi says, the first Rashi, Vatav Hashem Lasot Lachti et Bezalel. Okay. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban found this Rashi insufficient and decided to explain what was really going on. So he says, Rekarati B'Shem Yitzhal B'Nuri Ben Chur, that's the Pasuk. Amar Hashem, the Ramban says, God made the following case to Moshe. He said to Moshe, Rekarati B'Shem, I called out this person, I called out his name. Moshe Amar Yisrael, and Moshe passed it on to B'nai Yisrael, right in the parasha of Vayakel, Yisrael, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem. This idea of Kara B'Shem is something very special. Vata'am. Along comes the Ramban. He's going to explain to us what Karati B'Shem means. Ki Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, when the Jews were in Egypt, Bruchim B'Avodat Chomer U'Levenim, they were exhausted, done in, all the work they did with the mortar and stone. Lo lamdu melechet kesef v'zahav v'charoshet avanim. They didn't learn the kind of detailed work that you need to work with silver and gold and even stone. Avanim tovot, like precious stones. V'lo ra'u otam klal. They had no connection to them, to those things, B'nai Yisrael in Egypt. V'hinei upele, sheyimtza b'hem adam chacham gadol, b'kesef u'b'zahav v'charoshet evan. He says, it's a miracle that they were able to find, that God was able to find somebody in B'nai Yisrael who knew how to do all these things. Evan v'eitz, v'choshe v'rokeim, v'oreg, somebody who can work with cloth and work with needles and etc. Ki ein b'lomdim lifnei chachamim. There was no one to teach them. Lo yimtza baki b'kol ha'amanuyot kulam. They could never imagine that they could find one person who knew how to deal with all these different skills. And the people who did know and work people who were involved with them, tamid betit v'refesh, lo yuchlu lasot b'hem umanut daka v'yafa. And since they spent a lot of time with cement and stones, and they couldn't be expected to learn skills that were more precise and carefully honed. The Oud, furthermore, Shehu Chacham Gadol Bechachma Betuna Bedat. It is not only was he able to do all these other things, but he was a Chacham Gadol. And his Chachma is described in the Pasuk, Chachma Betuna Bedat. Lavin sod ha-mishkan, lavin sod ha-mishkan. And so the Ramban says, in order to build the Mishkan, you have to not only know how to do things that the Mishkan needs, but you have to be able to understand sod ha-mishkan, whatever it is. I mean, we know that the Ramban thought that the Mishkan was the ongoing Matan Torah, the kind of Har Sinai morphed into the Mishkan. And so he said that Bezalel had this capacity to understand what the Mishkan was really about. So he wasn't just building a building. He wasn't just putting together directions that he got from the Lego that he bought. No. He knew exactly what it was, and that's all in that in pasuk bet, pasuk gimel. V'amaleo to ruach Elokim bechokma betuna v'dat or bechol melachas or betchokma tuna v'dat is about the soul, the secret of what the Mishkan is. You have, even if you don't know what the secret of the Mishkan is, you would probably agree that there is something to that Mishkan. So the Mishkan Mikol Kelav, Lama Tzivu, Velmar Yirmozu. So the Ramban said those are reasonable questions. Why does the Mishkan contain whatever it contains? Velmar Yirmozu. What is it that they tell us? Well, what are the hints that the Mishkan had? Velachein Amar Hashem leMoshe. So God said to Moshe, "Sheyireh haPele hazeh." This is the Ramban talking. He says, "God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, 'Re'eh, karati b'shem,' which means, 'Ken Hashem Moshe sheyireh haPele hazeh.'" He says, "What should you look at? What is re'eh? Hey, take a look. Look here. Look at what?" The Ramban says, "Re'eh haPele hazeh." Pele is a wonder. It's a wonder. V'yada ki hu male oto ruach Elokim. And he will fill him with the Spirit of God. Ladat kol eile bavush yaseh mishkan. In order that he should be able to build the Mishkan. Ki hayar etzon milfanav lasot ha-mishkan ba-midbar. That God wanted for some reason to build the Mishkan in the desert. Ulichvodo b'ra'o, and he built it for the honor of God. Kihu kore adorot meirosh, because he Hashem, calls the dorot, he kind of determines what's going to be in advance. And so the plan that God created for the world has to take place, kikderech. And we know that when Hashem spoke to Yirmiyahu, he said, "B'terem etzarcha bebetan yidaticha, I knew you when you were in your mother's stomach, that you would be a prophet." U'b'terem teisei meirechem ha-kikdashticha, the end of that pasuk. Before you left your mother's womb, I designated that you would be a prophet. Uvilashon hazeh, uvilashon hazeh ra'u ki Hashem natan lechem haShabbat, al keinu natan lechem biyom haShishi lechem yomayim. As God gave you also about the past and the future, that the future is predetermined. So again, how did the Ramban explain the presence of Bezalel? The answer is that since Bezalel was so unique, and you could test him. Do you know what the Mishkan is all about? Do you know how to do work, how to work with gold, how to work with silver, how to work with stone? Yes, all those questions are, and there was nobody else like that. There was nobody. It was absolutely a miracle that he came into being. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're special. Especially, you're going to get the Torah. You'll get the Torah of the Mishkan. But Bezalel, he's also special, but in a different way. He's special because he's able to do everything that has to be done, and he also understands what the Mishkan is all about. That's what Bezalel, what Hashem said about Bezalel. That's what Hashem said about Bezalel. But you know, he said Bezalel was hooked into history at the beginning of history. And so he goes on. He says, Rabotenu b'zeh midrash. There is a midrashic statement that the Chachamim made. And he said, the pasuk, re'eh. Again, what does the word re'eh, what does the word re'eh mean? According to the interpretation we've read up to now, re'eh means take note, think about it, look carefully, right? All of that is re'eh. Along comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, Rabotenu, Bazeh Midrash, Hera Otosik Roshel Adam HaRishon. The book that is associated with the first man, which told how all the generations would come until the days of the Mashiach. Vamalo kol echad atak iktaktiv me'oto sha'ani. He told him, Hashem told him all the things that were going to happen, all the people that are going to appear. Uvitzalel me'ota sha'a itkanti shenivru bahem shamayim ba'aretz. And Bezalel was there in the book, ready to become Bezalel from the time of the creation of heaven and earth. V'inyan. And that means that the Mishkan Yirmos Ba'elu Hu HaYodea Umei Pinsot. And so what Chazal meant to say was that the story of Bezalel, a Mishkan Yirmos Ba'elu, that the Mishkan is a necessary component of life after Matan Torah, and that will bring us, that'll bring us to a greater understanding. So the Ramban said there's that Bezalel not only was perfect for the job, but he was designated for this job. He was with the Mishkan. Just as the Mishkan would have to be built, so too would Bezalel have to build it. Bezalel would have to build it. So now we thought a little bit about Bezalel, helped by the Ramban. Now let's see another pasuk. Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Aleph is the beginning of the parasha of Vayakel. The parasha says, "Vayakel Moshe kol adat b'nei Yisrael v'yomer lehem." He got everybody together, and he said to them, "Eila dvarim asher tzivah Hashem lasot otam. This is what you have to do. I'm about to tell you. Sheishit yamim te'aseh melacha, v'yom ha'shvi'i yeh lechem kodesh shabbat shabbaton l'Hashem, kol aseh bo melacha yumat." And there's this pasuk about Shabbos. Now, what does Shabbos have to do with the Mishkan? Rashi says, "Vayachel Moshe lemacharat yom ha'kippurim." Sheyarad min ahar. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain the second time, the second 40 days, right, on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he came down 40 days later, which is the 10th day of Tishrei. The 10th day of Tishrei, as he says, Lemacharat Yom HaKippurim. Vayakel Moshe. He came down on the 10th, and they got everybody together on the 11th. Sheyarad min ahar. V'hu l'shon hif'il, Rashi says, those of you who've been to Ulpan, you might know what a hifil is. Jainol Sefer Hashim B'yadai. Why did they use the hifil? Because he didn't want to think that he went and he grabbed people and he said, "Come to my meeting." Elohei Nesafim Al Pi Diburo. They are collected. They are collected by his word. V'targumo v'achnash. And the Targum of Unkelus v'achnash, I brought them together. Right? Sheshit Yamim, the second pasuk says, Sheshit Mitzvah Malacha, you'll do Blacha, Ikdim Lahem Azarat Shabbat, Litzivui Belechet Mishkan. So this is what we learn, that the love, the negative of Shabbat, the things you're not allowed to do Kol Osev Bomelacha Yumat Shetzivui Melechet Amishkan. Ikdiv Azarat Shabbat Shetzivui Melechet Amishkan. You have to keep Shabbat above beyond Melechet Amishkan. Lomar Sheino Dochet the Shabbat. The Shabbat takes first. So if you have to work to build the Mishkan and you can't do it in less than a week, you have to stop working on Shabbat, which means that there was a Havamina that you could. There was a Havamina, there was some idea that said the Mishkan can be built on Shabbat. So the Torah had to come along and say that it can't be built on Shabbat. Another Pasuk, Vayas Bitzalel. It says in the Pasuk Vayas Bitzalel Perek Lamed Zayin, that's a Pasuk in today, Et Haron, he made the Aron, I'd say, Shittim, Amatai, V'chesi Yaakov, V'chesi Yaakbo, V'ma V'chesi Kamato. So the Torah gives you the exact size of the Aron, but it's still, it doesn't tell you how it looks exactly. So why does it say Vayas Bitzalel Et Haron? So Rashi says, L'fi shenatan nafsho al hamlacha, yoter mishar chachamim, nikra al shemo. So that you understand that according to Rashi, Rashi says, he gave all of himself on building the Mishkan, yoter mishar chachamim, more than any of the others, Nikreit al Shemo. So Bitzalel might have decided to build the Mishkan even on Shabbat, right? But no. One more pasuk. The beginning of the parsha Pekudei. Eile Pekudei Mishkan Mishkan Ha'idut Hashem Pekad Al Pi Moshe. Avodat Alevi Biyadi Tamar Ben Aaron Kohen, Kudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidut. Now this becomes a critical pasuk. What does this pasuk mean according to Rashi? Kudei. Kudei, the various commands that have to do with building the Mishkan. Biparasha Zo, Nimnu Kol Mishkalei Nidvat HaMishkan. In other words, that's the Pekudei HaMishkan, the amounts that you have to bring. Nimnu, they counted up how much gold they had to bring and silver and stone, etc. The Kesem L'Zahav L'Choshet. Silver, gold, copper. V'nimnu Kol Kelab L'Kol Avodatav. And they counted up all of the vessels that had to be built. And then the word Mishkan appears twice. You see over here it says Eilep Kudei HaMishkan, but then if you read it HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidut, that the two words Mishkan are next to each other. So Rashi says Mishkan Shtei Pa'amim. Look at that. The word is written twice, one right next to the other. Remez L'Mikdash Shenitmashkein b'shnei churbanin. Nitmashkein means that the Mishkan was taken away, was used as a, you know, in lieu of some debt that they had, and they didn't fulfill it. They couldn't. Remez l'mikdash shenitmashkein b'shnei churbanin. So the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed. Al avodotehem shel Yisrael. So according to Rashi, Mishkan, the fact that it's written twice, Shnei Pa'amim, there's a remez. It was, you didn't have to write that. You could have written in the pasuk, Eile Pekudei Mishkan Ha'edut. You didn't have to say Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Ha'edut. So Rashi is disturbed by the fact that there's an extra word or word that could have been avoided. So Rashi says shnei pa'amim. Well, he could have had one. Remez lemikdash nitmashken b'shtei churbanin ala banotein shel Yisrael. So if that's the case, this pasuk in Pekudei, which mishkan is it related to? The first mishkan or the second mishkan? But we have this idea that mishkan ha'etud, it's just not going to last. Sharei Eidut li Mishkan Ha'Eidut. What is Mishkan Ha'Eidut? Eidut is Eidut li Yisrael. It's a witness for Bnei Yisrael. Sheviter lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God forgave them. Al Maaseh Ha'Egel. Sharei Shcha Shchinato Bnehem. God forgave them for the building of the Egel HaZahav. And the proof of that is, this pasuk. Eile pikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edut. That there is such a thing. There is a mishkan ha-edut. Asher pakad al pi Moshe, avodat ha-leviyim b'yad Itamar. Rashi, mishkan ha-edut. Eidut li Yisrael, it's a witness for Bnei Yisrael, Shevitel lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God forgave them. He kind of gave in to the pleading of Moshe Rabbeinu al Maaseh HaEgel, Sharei Yishra Shchinato Bnehem. They became Yishra Shchinato Bnehem, they became. So there is a kind of a on to one more pasuk. Pasuk says, "Avodat Leviim b'yad yinei pasuk abet b'tzalel ben Uri ben Chulim atay Yehuda asa et kol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe." Again, b'tzalel. B'tzalel Uri said, "Kol Hashem Tzivah Hashem et Moshe." What do you mean, et Moshe? Hashem Tzivah Moshe ain't k'tiv kan, ela kol Hashem Tzivah Hashem et Moshe. It doesn't say he did what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded. He did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded. Afilu dvarim shelo amar lo rabo. Imagine that. Even things that the master Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell him to do. He understood what he understood. As we said at the beginning of Vayakhel, you have to have understanding. Lema shene'emar leMoshe v'Sinai. He was kind of there. He was like a Torah recipient, just like Bnei Yisrael when they slid at Har Sinai. They all heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Bezalel was still standing at Har Sinai. He was still listening to the word of God. And he said, Ki Moshe tzivala Bezalel. That's what's the proof? Moshe commanded Bezalel, Lasot t'chila keilim achach mishkan. That's truma. Kelim b'chagach mishkan. First you build the vessels, and then you make the tabernacle. Amar lo b'tzalel. Min haga olam lasot tchila b'ayit b'chagach b'isim kelim b'tocha. The minhag of the world. The minhag in the world is that first you build a house, and then you buy furniture. And not the opposite. He says, b'chagach b'isim kelim b'tocha amar lo. Kach shamate mi pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, it may be true, but I heard God told me first Kelim and then the house. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe said, B'tzel kel hayita. You must have been. I'm sorry, it must be Amar lo kach shamate mi pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Bezalel said. Bezalel said, I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that first you build the house and then you build the Amalo Moshe Betzel El Hayita. You were in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki bevadai keikach tziva li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God must have said to me. B'chin asa ha-mishkan t'chila v'achakach asa keilim. And that's what he did. So there is, in the words of Rashi, which come from the words of Chachamim, there is a distinction that is drawn between Truman Tetzaveh, Mishkan number one, and Vayakel Pekudei, Mishkan number two. So I would like to make a suggestion. Mishkan number one is in the Torah before the Chet HaEgel. That means that Mishkan number one came, remember the parshiyot of this book that we're learning, Shmot Ve'erev Bo B'Shalach, Yitro is the Seret HaDibrot. After Yitro is Mishpatim, Torah, so that the Jews can accept the entirety of the Torah based on a larger amount of chukim that they learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's Mishpatim. After Mishpatim, Truma Tetzaveh. More Torah, and that would seem to me, Truma Tetzaveh, that's Bayit Sheni. That's what the command was. The command was that they didn't have the Aseret HaDibrot. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the tablets. Moshe Rabbeinu had not gone up to Har Sinai yet. That's the command to build the Mishkan. And the command to, I'm sorry, the command to build the Beit HaMikdash. Build the Beit HaMikdash. When are they going to build the Beit HaMikdash? When they get to wherever they're going. Because you know that the Ramban also said that they're going, right, step by step by step, according to the divine plan. And the divine plan ends with Bnei Yisrael building the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Beit HaMikdash, after the Chet HaEgel, it became necessary, imperative, that there be a place, because the people were not able to maintain the standard that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them about idolatry. Stay away from it. Don't get involved. Don't come near idolatry by any stretch of the imagination. All of this was made possible by the creation of a Mishkan, of a tabernacle. You see that in the desert, the Jews had just experienced the Matan Torah. They loved, in a place that was any place. It did not have specificity. It could have been any place, so that the building of the Mishkan in the desert was not the original idea. The original idea was they would take the Torah with them, and wherever they went, they would have the Torah. Wherever they went, they could daven. Right? It didn't matter. They could daven any place. Any place was worthy because the people were worthy. But after the Chet HaEgel, when the golden calf was built, the people were no longer able to maintain that standard, and therefore they needed a place. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, okay, we'll build a place. It's not going to be the final place. It's not going to be the place that you want to be in for the rest of time. But it's going to be a place that it'll help you to get through the 38 years in the desert and then enter into Eretz Canaan, ultimately under the leadership of Yoshua ben Nun. So if we say it that way, Bezalel is the one who brought into the world the skills necessary for building the Beit HaMikdash. It was if Bnei Yisrael couldn't conquer their desire to participate in idolatrous worship, then how are they going to build the Beit HaMikdash? And you know that the book of Shoftim and the book of Shmuel resounds with idolatry that B'nai Yisrael could not kind of get away from. They couldn't deny their inability to reach the heights that Moshe Rabbeinu demanded of them. They couldn't do it. So because they couldn't do it, they needed somebody who would kind of enter the skills necessary to build the Beit HaMikdash in the desert, with Moshe Rabbeinu watching, with Bezalel watching. Bezalel, according to the Ramban, was a very special kind of person, so he could put those skills into the fabric of the people, which then would be used when they built the Beit HaMikdash. The point that I'm making is that there was a difference between Terumah Tetzaveh that took place before the Chet HaEgel, at least according to the order of things in the Torah, and Vayakel Pekudei that took place after the Chet HaEgel. And after the Chet HaEgel, Vayakel brought all the people together. Pekudei, he counted up all the gold and silver that they needed. That this, they were really doing it in Vayakel Pekudei. They were making a Mishkan because they had to make a Mishkan. Even though the original plan was, it'll all be done in the Beit HaMikdash. And it's not really necessary in the desert. And if they needed an Aron, they needed the Ark to put the Ten Commandments in, to carry with them. Okay, so they would have an Ark, but there's no reason. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to build an Ark, to build the Ark that he would put the Ten Commandments in when he came down from the mountain the second time. But they didn't need the Mishkan. He didn't need the entire place as a place of prayer and communication with heaven until they sinned with that sin of the golden calf. So just to summarize, Terumah Tetzaveh, the Beit HaMikdash, Vayakel Pekudei, the Mishkan, building the Mishkan. Of course, Terumah Tetzaveh, some things look the same, but there was no other way to present it to us. I mean, the walls of the Beit HaMikdash are not at all like the walls of the Mishkan, but that was the basic idea, I think. And enjoy listening to the parsha on Shabbos. All the best. Be well. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Shabbos.